So thank you very much for coming Harukana Show suddenly.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it is the first time for us to see. So could you introduce about yourself to the listener?
Sure, yeah. So my name is Jason Matsumoto. I'm a fourth generation Japanese American, Yonsei.
Yonsei.
I grew up in the Chicagoland area. And, you know, I spent some time on the west coast of the United States for college. I spent 1 year studying abroad in Japan. And then I returned to Chicago, and I've been, was doing some work in, like, the financial field for about 10 years. And then I actually just switched over to do film. And, you know, I've been playing taiko my whole life and been becoming more serious about playing taiko now. So, yeah, yeah.
So you said financial is a bit far from taiko. How did you learn taiko?
So taiko is, you know, my mother and father, they were in a group. They actually helped to start a group. My father helped to start a group, the very first group in Chicago, taiko group, 41 years ago.
And it 41 years ago.
Yeah, and it was... it was created out of the Midwest Buddhist Temple, which is in Chicago. It's a 75-year-old Jodo Shinshu temple.
Yes.
I know that was started by, you know, like the Japanese American community in Chicago. And because my parents played taiko,
and they
were kind of the, at one point the leaders of the group. I didn't really have a choice when I was a kid. And so I started playing when I was like 4 or 5 years old. And it's, you know, like I've gone through many different changes in my life, but I've always played taiko. It's always been this consistent thing that I've been doing since I was a kid.
So you said the Japanese American society, community are there. And around Chicago, a lot of Japanese American are...
Yeah, you know, it's I think so much of like there where my family lineage comes from in Chicago, so much of it had to do with, you know, World War II and the incarceration of Japanese Americans because my grandparents were all living on the West Coast of the United States, and they were, I think, you know, pre-World War II, there were like two to 400 Japanese people living in Chicago, so a very small community. You know, the history of Japanese Americans in the U.S. is so many of them were living on the West Coast, and then during the war they got taken and imprisoned. And that was like my grandparents. And so my grandparents came from places like Stockton, California, Terminal Island, and they got moved to places like Arkansas to be imprisoned, and then they came to Chicago. And so my family came to Chicago with that community. And so from pre-war, like 300 to 400 Japanese, to like 1945 to 1949, like there's almost 20,000 that came after the war. And so my family, like my grandparents came during that time. And that's why... there's still, like, you know, there's a, it's not as big as 20,000 people anymore, but it's, you know, it's smaller. But that's why there's kind of a concentrated Japanese American community in Chicago.
No, each other, but it's before you were born.
Yes.
So how did you learn about the history and?
Yeah, I think, you know, so many, like, for example, the temple that I grew up going to, it's very connected. Like, I think all these organizations, like these different temples and churches and these different social service organizations, they all have this, like, lineage back to that time period. And so I think growing up in that network, I got to meet a lot of different people who are my age who are, like, you know, the descendants of, you know, the folks who came to Chicago just after World War II. And so there's still a community that you know, like all of our grandparents know each other, all of our parents know each other, and then now all of us are starting to know each other too.
So temple is like a community center.
A little bit like a community center. Some people are there for the religion, but a lot of people are there, you know, for the community aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it was a really important place, you know, in a place where you couldn't, you know, it was like maybe dangerous or difficult to be with people that looked like you.
Mm.
The temple was a place where you could do that, you know, safely. You know, so it was very important, and I think it's still kind of, from that, you know, still remains to be an important place for the community.
Could be relaxed and...
Yeah, exactly.
For you, also, the temple is a relaxed place, so...
Yeah, it's interesting, because the temple is now, it's changing a lot, because, you know, like, there's a lot more non-Japanese Americans, right, which is a good thing, and it's becoming much more diverse, and... we're like learning and figuring out ways to become more inclusive, and you know, to allow people to be part of the religion if they have a interest in the religion or part of the community. Like, so my taiko group, Hoetsu Taiko, they still, you know, we practice out of the temple. So all of our drums are stored at the temple, and twice a week we go to, you know, to the temple to practice. But most of the group are not members of Jodo Shinshu. So they have this like kind of affiliate relationship, and it becomes a community where even if you don't really have like a really strong interest in the religion, you can still be part of this community. Yeah.
So Hoetsu Taiko is, Hoetsu means a little related with religions, but the Hoetsu Taiko group itself is more open for any person.
Yeah, yes, correct. Correct. Yeah. The name of our group, there was like a sensei, who maybe 20 years ago, as we were forming this group, he was the minister at the temple, and he wanted to name the group, you know, kind of Joy of Dharma, right? So like how do you spread joy through, you know, what you're doing to other people? Yeah.
Joy means is from the body and the soul. So taiko is a bit true to contact with the world.
I think so, yeah. I mean, maybe, yeah. Well, you can tell me, you know, like, did you feel something when we were playing?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, so I think for us, like, we like this idea, and I think even if you're not Buddhist or Jodo Shinshu, you can understand, like, what music means to other people when you play it, you know? And so I think that's an easy way and a fun way to communicate this kind of idea of you know, spreading hope and joy in the world.
How about the Hoetsu Taiko? Hoetsu Taiko, you said, is for audience, that's a good tool to communication. Who play Hoetsu Taiko now?
In the group?
In the group?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, I think it's really interesting. Like, we think a lot about, like, because taiko is very much like it's the traditions and lineage of taiko comes from Japan, and there's really, really, really deep, you know, 100, 200, 300, 400 year old traditions of taiko, and you know, we as a taiko group, our philosophy is, you know, anybody who wants to dedicate themselves to play this, they can do that. You don't have to be Japanese, you don't have to be Japanese American. And so, you know, I think it's something that we think about a lot, like, what is our identity? Because we're playing something that comes from Japan. So what's our responsibility to, you know, the history and the lineage of Japan, but then also what is our kind of responsibility to create something that's meaningful to each of the individuals in Hoetsu, you know? And so we have... You know, we have people that grew up in the temple that play. We have people that just found us because they played taiko maybe in college, and they come to Chicago, and then they look us up, you know. And we have, you know, a process by which people try out and then become an apprentice and then enter the group. And so it's kind of all kinds of people. Like, and that's what we think is gives us strength. Is kind of different opinions and different backgrounds and different people all coming together to, you know, first learn and respect the traditions of taiko and try to understand those things, and, you know, work on the technical skill of actually playing taiko, and then starting to create their own voice and their own identity within, you know, our group. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we try to be very inclusive.
Inclusive,
yeah. Yeah, about who's allowed to play taiko and who can join hoetsu. Mm. Yeah.
You learned from your parents, so from your childhood, you know, and something you know, the atmosphere of Japanese culture, mm-hmm. and the, but the other person is different. You said mm-hmm. inclusive. Mm-hmm. So the learning taiko is sometimes difficult for other person without Japanese culture. Well, what's the difference?
I mean, I think even for me, because mm-hmm. I, you know, like, sure, my grandparents, you know, they came from Japan, and my great-grandparents were Japanese citizens. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I grew up in America the whole time, so even though I have, like, a lineage from Japan, I'm very American. And so even for me, sometimes it's hard to, like, learn, like, the history and culture and nuance behind, you know, this, like, deep tradition. But, you know, we do things like... yeah, and I think it's difficult for other people, too. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I just had a conversation recently about somebody who felt like they didn't fit in the group because they could never have this sense of duty that Japanese people have. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, questioning whether or not she should play taiko mm-hmm. because she's not Japanese, she's not Asian. Uh-huh. And she was asking, like, you know, is it important that I, like, learn how to have this sense of, like, duty and kind of, like, this, like, really strong idea behind, like, respect and maybe hierarchy in a mm-hmm. way, too, right? And so I think it is a challenge to, like, if you want to really understand and learn and dedicate yourself to like, learning the roots of the traditions. But, you know, for example, last year we did we brought this I call him like master, like taiko, yeah. taiko, you know, mm-hmm. like really high level taiko musician from Japan, and he plays if you're familiar with Sanja Matsuri in Tokyo, his group in Japan plays like this 300 year old music. Mm-hmm. It's actually like the festival music from yeah. Japan. And he brought himself to Chicago and stayed with us for 7 days mm-hmm. and taught us this whole musical score, and we did a performance with him. And so there's ways to kind of learn that, right? Uh-huh. And I think there's people who want to share that, even from Japan. There's people that don't want to share that, but there's people that do also want to share that. And so we look for those people to help us, mm-hmm. you know, I think learn more and kind of respect the traditions of taiko. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For example, senpai kohai.
Exactly.
It's very, very difficult for Americans.
It's very difficult. You know, I think Americans have this really strong identity with independence mm. and people uh-huh. people not telling them what to do. Mm-hmm. And so when you put Americans in a structure of senpai kohai,
yeah.
there's a lot of conflict. Because they're like, why should I listen to this person, you know? Mm. Whereas in Japan, I think, you know, it's an expectation. You, like, from a young age, mm-hmm. that concept is, like,
yeah.
you grow up with it. Mm-hmm. So when you enter, like, a musical tradition, you don't expect to be playing on the stage
yeah.
after your first year or second mm-hmm. year or third year. So it's this balance, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think it... I've seen models where people try to come from Japan and then create a dojo culture
oh.
With like a senpai kohai really strict mm-hmm. and they lose other members mm-hmm. you know, because like it's really hard for Americans
yeah.
who grow up from the mm-hmm. same young age mm-hmm. in a yeah. completely different, you know, kind of system
yeah
right and so like when that comes together it's a really difficult thing mm-hmm. to make work. So I think what we're trying to do in Hoetsu Taiko is to really think about that balance and think about how we can take the best of both mm-hmm. and then create something.
Yeah, yeah. Not only to respect Japanese culture or tradition, but also to, you should share the Americans.
Right, right.
So both collaborate and right. send not new culture, but more open culture.
Open culture.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's your work and
yes.
your group. And
yeah.
How do you keep the relationship with Japan? And You sometimes visit there?
So we have a lot of people that come from Japan to visit, and then I'm actually working with, besides taiko and film, I also I do like consulting for a Japanese taiko maker.
Uh-huh. That's very
Tokyo.
Interesting. Some name are there in your profile.
Yeah.
That you collaborate with them?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So collaboration. But also, I'm also like consulting for, there's a company called Miyamoto Unosuke Shoten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Miyamoto Unosuke Shoten, yeah.
They're actually the official drum maker of the Emperor of Japan.
Mm.
And I'm working on a team with the president of that company. He has a new business venture in the U.S. and Europe spread taiko, mm-hmm. yeah. And
it's international.
Like, it's called Kadon.
Kadon.
Kadon.com. Mm. And it's like online taiko instruction,
uh-huh.
like really high-level mm. instructors. And we try to make the instruction accessible
mm-hmm.
to anybody
mm-hmm.
over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a connection there that I get to like, you know, kind of stay connected to what's happening in like, you know, the world of Japanese taiko and kind of, you know, understand kind of the players and like the teachers who we might want to work with and bring to, you know, the States. So
the instrument taiko is now more popular in the Europe and the America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's really growing. I think, especially in Europe,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of interest in Europe, and it's a really interesting time for taiko because, you know, I think taiko in the U.S. there's kind of a strong connection to the Japanese American community.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Taiko in Europe, there's not that connection, so it's really interesting to see how it's developing in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's very different. Like, I think, in many ways, it's being there's a much stronger connection straight back to Japan for Europeans,
uh-huh.
you know, and so they're like Europeans are figuring out kind of what it means. Like they're going through the same things that I think the American taiko players were going through maybe 10, 15 years ago. It's like,
mm-hmm.
what's my identity? How do I respect these traditions, but also like create something new?
Mm-hmm.
How do I grow this thing that's not very popular in Europe right now?
Yeah.
And so they're asking themselves all these same questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So actually, through Kadon, we try to be in Europe a lot,
mm-hmm.
in Germany, in the UK, in Spain, in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
We do events and kind of support the growth of taiko happening in Europe. Uh-huh. Yeah. I have some friends who are doing a lot of work with youth, like building youth programs, because taiko is a really physical
mm-hmm.
way, but it also helps you build a team.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you have to play together, and you need to play on beat, and you like nobody can be like the star. You know, you have to
mm-hmm.
figure out. And so, there's a lot of people in Europe who are using taiko as a way to teach youth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like teamwork and like these like concepts that I think are really important, and it's. I think it's more accessible too.
Mm.
Like to play violin, you have to learn violin, and of course, to play taiko, you need to learn how to play taiko. But you can produce a sound, the first day, and so I think people find that very accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
accessible, but not easy to keep the space and the opportunity for more people come into
right.
together.
Right.